Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. We have a couple of guests on the phone this morning, two great guests, actually. Katie Sherman, author of He Remembers the Baron, joining us by phone this morning. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
It's a little rainy here up in Sherman, but we're thankful for it.
Oh, wonderful. Well, yes, rain is good for many of our folks right now, I'm sure. Also joining us by phone, Dr. Jeff Gibbs, professor of exegetical theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Good morning, Dr. Gibbs. How are we doing?
Good morning, Andy. I'm fine. Thank you.
Good, good. Now, coming up this fall, we wanted to share with our listeners about a symposium coming up at Concordia Seminary this fall so that they can get it on their calendar so they can save the date. Katie, what is this symposium that's coming up this fall?
Well, LCMS Life Ministry and the Concordia Seminary Life team are co-hosting the first ever Infertility Ethics Symposium on Saturday, November 8th, and it will be at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Dr. Gibbs, why is it important for us to have a symposium on infertility ethics? Why is this an important topic right now?
Well, Andy, I think there's a couple of things going on. Often when traditional Christians like Missouri Synod Lutherans think of life issues, we think of abortion.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, as a friend of mine says, there's a lot of things both upstream and downstream from that. And this is important topics that are upstream from it. Katie's written a wonderful book about the struggle of infertility that couples go through and how they experience that, how to minister to them. Faced with that, sometimes people take advantage of technology to try to conceive a child, but some of those technological advances, although they quote-unquote work, they raise serious ethical questions about the beginning of life and the value of human life from the moment of conception. So this is really important stuff, and really a lot of what's driving it, I think, is the technological advances that we Christians need to think about critically in the best sense and to try to do what's right according to God's Word.
Hmm. It is a timely issue as things in our culture continue to change and technology seem to change and to impact issues in fertility. Katie, your thoughts on why it's important for us to have such a symposium?
Well, our laity and the church are already grappling with the ethical questions regarding infertility medicine. You know, our couples who are struggling conceiving, you know, are going to their doctors, and their doctors are living out their vocation, suggesting different, you know, healing medicines to help them with their infertility issues. But as Dr. Gibbs just pointed out, sometimes the technologies associated with what doctors think are healing medicine mm-hmm. actually can break commandments of our Lord, whether it's the first commandment because we are dethroning the true creator in our hearts and replacing him with this makeshift God constructed of our own wishes and desires. Or in some circumstances, some of these procedures can actually break the fifth commandment. Whether couples know it or not, sometimes the very children we want and pray for end up being murdered in some of these procedures. So because our laity are grappling with the ethics of infertility medicine already, we need the help of our pastors. And so this symposium is intended to be a vehicle to help get that conversation going in our synod for the benefit of our pastors.
Why have we been so reluctant as Christians, why have we been so reluctant to talk about these issues in the past? Why is it that it's taken us a while to really start talking about these things? Dr. Gibbs?
Well, that's a great question, Andy. There's probably about 80 good answers. two things that come to my mind is, first of all, I think a lot of pastors feel kind of intimidated by science in terms of not knowing, not understanding the basic science. I'm not a trained scientist. This is why a fellow like my colleague Robert Weiss or Kevin Voss up at Concordia University in Wisconsin, these are such valuable resources for us because they are actually scientists who can also bring to bear the reflections that come from our convictions and our theology. So I think pastors are intimidated by science. And to be honest, I think that sometimes because we Lutherans are so strong on law and gospel, on proclaiming Christ crucified and risen, and you know, if there's a weak spot in our theology, it might actually be, it's just my opinion now, moral reflection. And that is, okay, how do we negotiate right and wrong and options and choices? And Lutherans haven't always been really good at that. Other Christian traditions have developed that a fine sensibility better than we have. So as Katie said, I think the symposium could be a great chance to just carefully, evangelically get the conversation going.
What are some of the topics that will be addressed in the symposium? What are the, do we have a lineup already of speakers and topics that will be happening at the symposium?
We do. Reverend William Swirla will be presenting a paper on the topic, Be Fruitful and Multiply When It Doesn't Work. Reverend Dr. Kevin E. Voss, he's going to be presenting a paper on Survey of Reproductive Counseling Practices in the Lutheran Church. Reverend Dr. James Lamb will be presenting a paper on IVF, From Created to Creator. Reverend Dr. Robert Wise, he'll be presenting a paper on Embryo Adoption, Helping or Hurting My Neighbor. Reverend Christopher Esgott will be presenting on the topic Pastoral Care for Those Experiencing Infertility. And Reverend Peter Brock, he will be presenting a paper on the LCMS and infertility ethics. And then in addition to the papers that will be presented at the actual symposium on site, every attendee will also be handed a copy of a paper written by Mr. Ed Zito of LCMS Life Ministry called Infertility Medicine from A to Zift, which will hopefully be a helpful tool to pastors as they're trying to not only become familiar with names of some of these procedures that are associated with infertility medicine and different assisted reproductive technologies, but help them get a little familiar with the content of those procedures so that as barren couples come into their office, you know, they have a good resource they can, you know, look to kind of say, okay, now what in the world is that?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Certainly.
And hope that the procedure doesn't change in the next 6 months.
Oh, isn't that the bear in this? It is. How do we stay on top of all of this change in technology?
Yeah. So.
You're right. The technology is constantly changing. So it seems like this is something that we have to have an ongoing conversation. This isn't the end of a one-time conversation. This is something that's ongoing, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, and that's where the work of Katie's on the LCMS Life. I never remember the official title of the committee, the commission, the Life Commission, right?
You know, I'm not actually on that committee, but they very graciously listen to me all the time.
Okay, excellent. Well, you should be on it.
Thank you.
Well, I know that Ed Zito serves, as you mentioned, the gentleman who wrote one of the pieces that will be shared at the symposium. He serves on LCMS Life Ministry along with Maggie Carner,
and
they've done fine work in making sure that we are involved in what's going on in our country, you know, spending time in our nation's capital, being up to date on what's happening in our country in terms of these matters.
That's the thing. I mean, it's very intimidating to think about trying to stay on top of all of the technological advances with assisted reproductive technology. But praise be to God, in our synod, we have organizations such as Lutherans for Life. You know, we have, I believe the committee you're referring to is the Sanctity of Life Committee.
That's it. Thank you.
Yep. Well, in fact, a couple of our presenters are members of that committee. They really do help us as best as can be, you know, stay on top of these issues. But I think even that committee could use some help because, you know, they can stay on top of the procedures, but we really need our pastors and our synod to be applying God's word to these procedures for the benefit of the laity. And that's part of why this committee is so supportive of this symposium as well.
Well, very good. And I want to talk about the audience and who might attend this workshop in just a little bit. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from the break, we'll talk more about the symposium coming up at the seminary this fall. Stick around for more His Time right after this on Worldwide KFUO. Jesus
Jesus and the Bible exhorts us to agreement in all biblical teachings. I'm Rod Zwanitzer, one of the four hosts of Concord Matters, a show with that worthy goal, Concord, inviting you to join us Saturday mornings at 10 and repeated Tuesdays at 2 p.m., as well as 24/7 on demand.
Listen to Concord Matters on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO.
Teaching the faith, spiritual care, acts of mercy. These describe the work of a deaconess. Your pastor provides you with word and sacrament ministry. Consider a deaconess to aid him through other means of caring for your congregation. Her loving hands can bring Christ's love in specific ways tailored to meet your congregation's needs. You have a need, consider a deaconess. For more information, please contact your district president.
For the second year in a row, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is proud to have been named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. This recognition is given to organizations that go beyond making statements about doing business ethically and translate those words into action. Why Thrivent Financial? As a Christian membership organization, our shared values guide everything we do. When you work with us, you can be sure we strive to take great care to act responsibly and with integrity. To learn more, check us out at thrivent.com.
Facebook is one of the biggest social media instruments for checking out what is going on with worldwide KFUO. On our Facebook page, facebook.com/KFUO radio, you'll see us posting pictures, online videos, show information, as well as reviews and previews of events at KFUO. Worldwide KFUO, we are where you are, on Facebook at facebook.com/KFUO radio. The worldwide leader of confessional Lutheranism, Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Thanks so much for joining us this morning as we're talking about the upcoming symposium, the Infertility Ethics Symposium, this November at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis, Missouri. Katie, what were the dates again on that?
It's on Saturday, November 8th, and it'll start around 8:30 in the morning with an opening worship service, and it ends with a Gemütlichkeit around 5:30 in the evening, and it's at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Now, who might be interested in attending this? Who is the audience for this symposium?
Well, you know, our intention is not to exclude people, but because space is limited, we're trying to, since this is our first infertility ethics symposium, we're trying to really target, you know, our servants of mercy and servants of the word. So our pastors, obviously, therefore also our seminarians who are training to be pastors, and then our commissioned ministers and parish nurses, those who really are going to be in contact with barren couples in churches.
So the idea here is to equip those who are serving in our church and servants of mercy so that they can go out and share what they gain at the symposium with the people they serve.
That's exactly right. Ed Zito, in a recent article of the Reporter Online, he says, you know, that LCMS Life Ministry sees the symposium as a starting point, not really an end point. And they really want our pastors and commissioned ministers to be equipped and confident in their spiritual guidance to couples who are seeking answers to what are very complex issues.
Mm-hmm. And this comes back to what you were talking about earlier, Dr. Gibbs, that quite often pastors are just intimidated by all the science. Some are intimidated by all the science behind this, depending on their background.
Right.
It can just be overwhelming.
Yes, and you know, I was going to mention too, when Katie gave that list of really fine presenters, Dr. Jim Lamb, who's the executive director of Lutherans for Life. Lutherans for Life, you know, is an RSO of the Registered Service Organization of the Missouri Synod, and they have tons of basic information on these topics. The information is available. It's virtually free. You can go to their website. I think it's Lutherans for Life spelled out .org, and I mean that's a great place. My wife is on the National Board of Directors, and if you just want basic information about what is IVF, what are these procedures, they've done yeoman's work at educating and creating resources for the church. So it's a good partnership. I'm happy to see this partnership between Lutherans for Life and the Missouri Synod continue strongly.
Absolutely. And we have, as Katie was reading that list, sharing that list earlier, those names were most of them were pretty familiar and guests here on Worldwide KFUO pretty regularly. We try to stay on top of these topics just because, as you said, it's a constantly changing a field when it comes to technology in our society. Because it's a constantly changing matter, it's probably hard to equip church workers in training, you know, such as our pastors, deaconesses, DCEs, and teachers, and all those serving as commissioned ministers in a variety of ways in the church. It's really hard, probably, to stay on top of this in the curriculum that our pastors and church workers go through in their formation.
Yeah, curricula are not very agile or nimble, right? They tend to be set in place, and then they do what they do. But I know that at both seminaries, I know more about Concordia St. Louis, of course, than I do my alma mater, Fort Wayne. but we have a very active life team. Again, as Katie mentioned, we're helping to sponsor the conference and to welcome folks to the campus. And our life team has a mission statement. It runs like this: centered in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Concordia Seminary Life Team equips our seminary community and others to affirm life. And so one of the things we do is education, right? Mm-hmm. So, and this is it's a good model for a congregation. Hopefully, one of the things that pastors will begin to think about as they're here is, okay, how could this play out in a practical way in my congregation? And the last thing you want to do is sell to the pastor, oh, this is one more thing you have to do.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But the formation of a life team of lay people who are gracious, gospel motivated, and focused on God's truth is a really great blessing to a congregation. So that's the way we do it here. We have a fairly agile life team that can take up topics and offer some education and some encouragement.
Now, Dr. Gibbs, what will you be involved in at the symposium? Will you be presenting also?
Oh, I'm going to stand around and try to look good. I'll get a haircut a couple of days before. I think I'm preaching at the worship service, Andy. And as of yesterday, I was recently appointed, I think, Katie, the official phrase is MC.
It right? is official, too,
yeah.
Yes.
So that means everybody has to be nice to me or I cut off the discussion from Mike. So, yeah, I'll be, again, I just want to say that the LCMS Life folks and Katie's committee, they're doing about 98% of the lifting here, and we're the life team here, and our goal will be to welcome, encourage our students to attend, and so forth, to be whatever help we can. So I'm happy to say we're the junior partner in this partnership, so and we're grateful for it. So,
Katie, anything else about the? Will you be presenting as well?
No. I as a layperson and as a woman, it is my delight to just serve these pastors and to learn from them and to listen. And I hope, just further the conversation of, what's not only a vastly changing, faction of medicine, but we should also mention it's highly unregulated in our country. It's really, it's been referred to as the Wild West.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, infertility medicine, it's a crazy, bucking bronco. And so, it's very important as a woman for my pastors to be applying God's word to these issues, and then, as a church body, speaking on these issues. So I'm grateful to be there to, help people know where the bathroom is.
Well, that's
Plus
an important.
They can read your book.
Oh.
Right? Which is a great book, and they should read it. So.
Thank you, Dr. Gibbs.
Now, the lineup, again, the date in November 8th, is that correct?
Correct. It's a Saturday.
Mm-hmm. When will registration information be out about this?
You know what? Anybody who's interested in attending, they can go ahead and go to lcms.org/life, and they'll find flyers they can download from there, mm-hmm. and they can go ahead and contact LCMS Life Ministry at 314-996-1711 to reserve a spot at the symposium.
Very good. Very good. Well, one thing that I forgot, that kind of an exciting thing that happened back in April that we haven't mentioned yet. Dr. Gibbs, if I recall correctly, was it back in, or I'm sorry, maybe it was 2000, maybe it was last year, is it the Arnie Molbach Award?
It was this year. Yeah, that's right. It was fine, right? Renee and I are involved in life stuff, you know, in the St. Louis area, and we have great friends at an organization called Churches for Life, which mm-hmm. Arises out of the Conservative Presbyterian Church, and they give out an award each year, and they couldn't find anybody else to give it to, so they gave it to me and Renee. Actually, you know who deserves awards like that are people who are caring for spouses who have Alzheimer's disease. There's a family in our congregation. Our most faithful acolyte at Holy Cross in St. Louis is Adam Delf, who is a Down syndrome adult. And he leads the gospel processional out into the midst of the congregation. It's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen. His parents deserve life, the Arnie Molbach Award. But we were grateful to receive it. So,
well, that is outstanding. And to hear more about these life teams, you know, tell us about the life team at Concordia Seminary that's partnering with us on this.
On
this event.
It's a student organization, mm-hmm. and it's a model actually. Again, there's a beautiful partnership. Churches for Life, again, it's a local but growing organization here in St. Louis, and they have a model for building a congregational life team in a very gracious, trusted, beautiful way. And Lutherans for Life has partnered with them, and so now Lutherans can go right to the Lutherans for Life website and see some basic videos, understandings about what a life team is, how you go about forming one. It's a great model. I'll just say that. And we have one here, so it's kind of like the equivalent of a congregational life team, except it's located on the seminary campus. And I'm the faculty advisor along with my wife Renee. And then we have student leaders, and it's really for pastors that feel are already overwhelmed. I don't have time to do what I have time to do now. Mm-hmm. It really is a beautiful way to move forward because it's lay-led, and there's training. It's really an amazingly efficient model. I just can't say enough good about it. So,
I know that there is another congregation. I believe it's Zion and.
Zion and Maryland Heights.
Yes,
a
yeah.
very active life team. Also, yeah. Peace down on the south side of the county, and I've been told that St. Paul de Pere is in the process of forming a life team as well. And there are over 60 Missouri Synod churches around the country who, in the last year and a half, have begun. They're in various stages of forming life teams. So it really seems to be a thing that God is blessing. So
and the benefit of having a life team, as you mentioned, is it's not necessarily something one more thing to add to the pastor's plate, but it's something that helps the congregation, especially the laity, to be aware of what's going on in topics like we're talking about at the symposium, life topics, life issues that are important for us to be aware of and to speak up on. Correct?
Yes. Yes, and the most important thing about it, and it's really a beautiful thing, is that it doesn't flow from anger. Mm-hmm. You know, we've all known angry pro-life people. Some mm-hmm. of us have been angry pro-life people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't flow from anger. It doesn't flow from guilt. It flows from the gospel. Our friend Doug Murky has a phrase. He says, life teams are made of people who are rescued rescuers. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a beautiful mm-hmm. phrase? Christ has rescued us, mm-hmm. and now through us, he seeks to rescue other people who are in peril. So it's a little obvious, but it's the most important thing about it, and that is the training, the emphasis from beginning to end is look at the grace that Christ has shown to us. Now, in that graciousness, we move out in love to those who are in need. So
I'm glad you pointed that out. It's not about angry pro-lifers. This is about grace and love, and that's what this symposium is about as well. In addressing these infertility ethics, it's approaching it from a grace perspective, right?
Yes, as I like to say, almost as if we were baptized.
yes.
Well, Katie, anything else that you'd like to point out about the symposium?
No, just that I know Saturdays can be very inconvenient days for pastors. Mm-hmm. So if there are any laity listening who understand the importance of their pastor being exposed to this information, I would encourage you to give him maybe the weekend off and pay for his plane ticket and his lodgings and help equip our pastors to preach and teach to us.
Sure. Sure. It's important to encourage our pastors to be aware and knowledgeable of these matters so that they can help us as laity be informed and knowledgeable of them as well, so that we can stand up for life matters, for life issues. This is an important conversation. And it, as you pointed out, it's really kind of the beginning of a conversation. It's certainly not the end. That's pretty important, I think, for
that's
us
right,
to address.
Yeah.
That's right. It will be ongoing.
Absolutely. Again, November 8th, coming up at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, Infertility Ethics Symposium for pastors, seminarians, commissioned ministers, and parish nurses, a variety of topics, including in vitro fertilization, our IVF, embryo adoption, assisted reproductive technology. Any other topics that'll be covered that we haven't mentioned yet?
The paper titles are the specific you know, topics that will be covered, but I'm sure at the Gemütlichkeit, all kinds of things will be covered.
That's right.
Very good. Very good. Well, Dr. Gibbs, thanks so much for taking time this morning to talk with us. Blessings to you and all the students. I guess it's a little bit quieter there at the SEM right now during the summer.
A little bit, but we're ramping up for summer term, so that's good.
Very good. Thanks so much for being our guest this morning on His Time.
Thank you.
Katie Schuerman, author of He Remembers the Barren. Thanks for being our guest on His Time again this morning.
Thanks, Andy. I always enjoy my time with you. Thank you.
Same here. God's blessings. Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to study the daily lectionary with the Reverend Grayson Grenz from Trinity Lutheran Church in Wyandotte, Michigan. Hope you can join us for that. We're going to get into Luke chapter 22 this morning, verses 24 through 46. Stick around for more His Time right after this break on listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.